Again, and welcome to another edition of I've Got a Beatles Podcast. And you, yes, indeed, you are hearing the Beatles version of Kansas City. And the reason for that is I am now in Kansas City. And so it's great because the Beatles have a song for everything. And yeah, that's proof. So here I am. I am in Kansas City. I've moved. And so we hope everybody's having a good summer. And we've just taking a little bit of time off to move and do some comedy work and do some other things, but we are back to finish off all these anniversaries and tell you stories and all sorts of things. So how's it going, Chris?
Pretty good. I was pretty busy in July, too. I went to the Paul concert in Milwaukee, the Out There tour. We'll talk about that one in a future episode.
And in the interest of full disclosure, Chris is wearing his Out There concert T-shirt right now. He's showing me the it's a picture of him from the early 70s, it looks like.
So, yeah, early 70s Paul, repeated over and over.
Yeah.
It was a good time, very fun concert, but that's all I'll say right now.
Yes.
I don't want to spoil the future episode about it. And, you know, you moved. That was a bigger thing, like a huge life move all the way up. You're a little bit closer to me, so maybe we'll see each other a little more often than just on Skype.
Yes, exactly. I know. But, so a lot's been happening. And also, last episode, we mentioned the International Beatles Conference that's going to be held to celebrate the 50th year of the Beatles coming to America. And it's going to be held in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And we posted the web address for it, and I'm proud to report that I have a paper that's been accepted to this conference, so I will definitely be there, and we'll try to do something for you, whether it's some interviews or give you live updates of what's happening or just kind of give you a sense of what's happening. This is going to be crazy Beatle geekdom, and it's going to be fun
We assume everyone listening to this is Beatles geeks.
Yes, exactly. So you'll appreciate it.
Right? I've told my just regular friends that don't listen to the Beatles about this, and they're like, nah, I haven't heard it. You know, like close friends of mine. But like Beatle people are like, yeah. I got one tweet from one of the people following me on Twitter, at Chris D. Bragg, and they said, like, when are you guys going to record again? I am. All these other podcasts are dreadful.
Well, we're happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's a good point before we get into today's topic. Please like us on Facebook, and we post things pretty regularly on there. We got a comment from Raphael, who this was from actually a couple weeks ago, but he pointed out, he said, you guys have the best Beatles show. Thanks for doing this show. Hope you guys keep doing it for a long time. And then he said, recently I saw a movie on Netflix about a guy collecting stories of people and the Beatles. And I also want your opinion on the movie Paul McCartney Really Is Dead, The Last Testament of George Harrison.
I started watching that, and the fake George accent or impression that whoever is faking this George thing is so ridiculous.
Ooh.
So bad. Maybe we should do an episode sometime in the future about the whole Paul is Dead thing.
I think so.
Actually, yeah. I think we'll do one of those.
It'd be fun. Yeah.
But not today.
No, not today. So thanks for the comments, and keep them coming. But today we hope to get some good comments, because it's been 40 years since the release of Ringo, 1973 album, which many people would consider his best, probably, for a lot of reasons that we're going to talk about. And we'll go through a little bit of the history behind the album and then go track by track and play a lot of the tunes. And you think about, we haven't been avoiding Ringo. It seems like we have if you look back at our list of episodes, but have we been avoiding Ringo?
I wouldn't say avoiding. It's just half of Ringo's catalog is just all-star band albums.
Yeah.
So live all-star band albums where he's playing the same songs. Or, you know, some oldies.
Right.
Or, you know, Gary Wright's playing Dreamweaver or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not much to talk about on those. And honestly, some of his other albums are kind of like standards and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Or remakes of his own songs.
Like, that Ringo 2, the recent one, 2012, yeah, or whatever that one was called. Yeah.
Quite frankly, most of his albums are kind of duds. Yeah. So rather than just, let's rip into this album, I think we're saving a couple of his good ones for special episodes like this one.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a great album. It was, as I said, from 1973. And you pointed out the types of albums that Ringo had been recording as a solo artist. And the previous two before this one were exactly what you said. The first one was Sentimental Journey, which was all standards, like American popular songs and things. And then the next one was, well, he said it, beaucoup of blues, but if you're French, you'd say beaucoup. But that was a country album from 1970 and 71. Again, no originals, I don't think. There are very few, and just a lot of covers.
Maybe I'd rather hear him play a little country than the standards.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. And so it was a big deal when he'd had a couple of hits, like It Don't Come Easy and Back Off Boogaloo and things like that. And it was a big deal when he decided to put this album together because, from my mind, it starts a trend in Ringo's life of getting a lot of stars to help you out and big-name people.
The guest stars on his album are so many that he felt the need to list some of them as the album was ending.
Yes.
On the actual album.
That's right.
So, pretty good, including all three Beatles. Yeah. So this record technically has all four Beatles on it.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a Beatles album.
And so there you go.
more or less. I mean, more towards less.
Well, it's probably the closest the Beatles ever came to a reunion on record. Well, and probably in person too. Yeah. They almost had all four in the country, but Paul couldn't quite get there to be there in person. But we'll go through track by track and tell the stories. But
a couple of other things I wanted to say before we go track by track. One was, actually, it's kind of related. Apparently, George and him were somewhere on a vacation together and wrote a song called Photograph. It's one of his best songs. Probably Ringo's best song, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, though, what happened was that apparently, like, gave him the idea, like, ooh, maybe I should finally do an album of all originals, mm-hmm, now that I have one really good song that I've written. No, It Don't Come Easy is a good song, too. But,
yeah.
But it still sort of sat around for a while, and then he finally decided, you know, let's do it.
It's tough being a drummer, because you rely on everybody else so much, like the songwriters and the guitar players, the bass players, everybody else to make it happen. And it's pretty rare that you have drummers who became really successful frontmen. I guess you got, like, you know, Phil Collins or Don Henley or people like that. But Ringo's not quite in that category of songwriter or performer. So it was really an all-star group before there was an all-star band. And consequently, there's a lot of great songs and some pretty good playing.
Well, in fact, the first song actually reunites one of the fifth Beatles.
Yes.
And John Lennon and George Harrison. And it was a song that was written by John Lennon for Ringo called I'm the Greatest.
Yeah, we'll listen to John Lennon's version here to get a sense of how it sounds.
One, two, three, four. When I was a little boy, way back home in Liverpool, my mama told me I was great. Was great. And now I'm a man. A woman took me by the hand. And you know what she told me? I was great.
So the two versions of I'm the Greatest, back-to-back, the John Lennon version, which is found on the Lennon anthology, and then Ringo's version with, as Chris said, really quite an all-star group. You have Ringo on drums, you have John on piano and vocals, George on guitar, Billy Preston on organ, and Klaus Voormann on bass. So really, that's like, to me, that's probably about as close as a Beatles reunion can get. For that time, certainly.
I really love this song.
Yeah.
I've always loved it. And actually, the very first time I heard it was as a kid. They were on Westwood One Radio playing the Lost Lennon tapes. And I heard it on the Lost Lennon tapes. And I always remembered it. And I was like, oh, I really want to hear that again. Obviously, that was John's version.
Hmm.
And then I was like, oh, wait, it's actually a Ringo song. And then it makes more sense as a Ringo song.
Yeah.
The lyrics do, at least. I might prefer the John Lennon version. Not just because John Lennon's singing.
Yeah.
But because it's less production-y, they might overdo it just slightly with the business, with the sort of Beatle-y, trying to make it like... with the crowd sounds and stuff like that towards the end.
Yeah, it's where Ringo says, yes, my name is Billy Shears. And then just like on the Sgt. Pepper album, you got the crowd noise and everybody goes crazy. And that's also it would also be weird if John said, I'm Billy Shears, which he wasn't. And also, I think there was a quote in one of the interviews, might have been the Playboy interviews, but John made a comment like, there was no way he could have released that song because they would have thought he was so arrogant. And calling himself the greatest.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Ringo being I'm the greatest is kind of like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice that you think that.
And good. It works.
Have confidence, Ringo.
Yeah.
A couple other things that strike me about this song is if the Beatles had gotten back together in 1973, this would have been on the album and a big hit song on that album. I just think it's like, it sounds so Beatle-y. It's like, you got the kind of changes of some of their late 70s or late 60s stuff. And it also sets up this album very well. I think it sets the tone of this going to be kind of a fun album, high energy.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a great opener, and cool chord progressions and just a really good musical song. And George sounds great on the guitar. Some good. You really hear a lot of George's slide playing and some great licks on here. So, terrific opener, I'm the Greatest, and that's followed by a song that has two different names. I'm looking at the original 1973 record, which I have a copy of, which came with a pretty neat book of lyrics and drawings by Klaus Voormann, who plays bass. But on the album here, it's called Hold On. And then on the CD reissue, it's called Have You Seen My Baby?
Yeah, and but it's the same song.
Same song, yeah.
And they say Hold On enough that...
It's kind of the chorus.
Might as well be called Hold On.
Right, right.
It's a Randy Newman composition. And there's a guest guitarist on it, Mark Bolan from... T-Rex.
Yep, bang a gong.
Bang a gong. There's some footage online of Ringo and Mark Bolan meeting each other and kind of acting weird and stuff.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Here's a note from Wikipedia, so take it as you wish. The track listing on the album cover, as well as the record label, incorrectly labeled this song as Hold On.
Oh.
So perhaps it was a correct thing. Probably somebody was like, what's the name of this song? Oh, I know what it is. Don't worry.
I got it.
You don't need to tell me it. I know it. It's Hold On.
Hold On.
What do you think of it? Of Have You Seen My Baby?
Yeah. it's a very typical Ringo song of this period. When I think of 70s Ringo song, it's got a good feeling, good beat. It's up, very up-tempo. Good piano playing. There's this guy who sort of plays boogie-woogie piano named James Booker, who's all over this track playing keyboard. It's fun, yeah. It's kind of I'm not a big Randy Newman fan. I don't know much of his work, and the stuff that I do, I'm not a huge fan.
It all sounds like this.
It's very strange.
Short people's got to be so short. I make fun of Randy Newman a lot, actually, in my private life.
Yeah, so...
We'll have to do a great... That's going to go on the greatest impression reel.
Yes, we've got together. A couple good ones so far. Yeah.
Randy Newman, all of his songs are,
Yeah.
I've got a notepad, stuff like that. I think it's good. I mean, it's a decent rock song. One thing this record has, like you said, is friggin' great musicians playing really well.
Yeah.
So that's as far as that goes, And the sort of relentless production and over orchestration throughout the album isn't so much a negative. I don't think it would be usually, but Let's put some more horns on this one, fellas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peace, love.
This particular track in the album, you start to see that there are two drummers on these songs. You start to see Jim Keltner's name appearing. And as if you're a big Beatle fan or in the know, you know that Jim Keltner was a big session guy who played with, I think, all four Beatles at some point. And played a lot with George and Ringo particularly. So you see the two drummers. So, yeah, it's fun. I think it's a pretty good song. So it's followed up by, as the aforementioned Photograph, which is a George and Ringo co-composition. And
we said we weren't going to play this one, but let's play just a little bit of Photograph.
What can you say? It is one of Ringo's best, and you can really feel the hand of George Harrison on there, since he's also playing and singing on it with him. But just a great song, good lyrics. What can you say?
Yeah, this is another one, too, I think would have made the cut as far as Beatles albums go.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you... It really kind of made me think that he should have been writing... Ringo should have been writing with George more. Yeah. This whole album made me feel like that way. Like, those two working together might have, you know, on Ringo's stuff. Every time Ringo has an album, he should have just called George, said, look, dude, come in, help me out for a couple, couple of months.
You know?
Because it's so good. It really is like, and it was a pretty big hit. It was his, not his first single, but, you know.
It made the top 10, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Definitely a chartable single, you know.
Yeah. And you were talking a little bit about the production on this album, and we should say that this was produced by Richard Perry, not by Phil Spector, who was in the Beatle water all through the early 70s. And who was Richard Perry? Well, he was a pretty famous record producer in the 70s, particularly, who produced albums by people like Harry Nilsson, Barbara Streisand, Carly Simon, Art Garfunkel, Diana Ross, and on and on and on. So a lot of good credentials. Do you feel like there's a little Spector-ish sound on Photograph?
I'd say a little bit. More than that, I just think sort of the way these albums were recorded at the time was always, let's throw some more horns on there, let's make it a bigger sound rather than a more sparse sound.
Right.
So I think they just, more like it was in the water than, they're trying to sound like Phil Spector.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah, so anyway, something to keep in mind as you listen to these tracks. Speaking of George, our next song on the album is a George Harrison original, and you wouldn't know it. I think it's really un-George-like to me.
Yeah,
it's called "Sunshine Life for Me," and then in parentheses, "Sail Away, Raymond." Yet again, has another cast of big name people on it. If you know some of the people on there.
Yeah, listen for. We're gonna play just a little bit of it here. Listen for Robbie Robertson on guitar.
Yeah.
George on backing vocals and guitar. You can really hear George, too.
Yeah, you've got four-fifths of the band here. You've got Levon Helm, Rick Danko, and Garth Hudson on this as well. So it's the band meets the Beatles.
Yeah. So let's have a little listen to "Sunshine for Life for Me, Sail Away, Raymond," in parentheses. I love prayer and medical titles more than anything in all of the world.
And there's another one later to come, too.
There's another one coming up, so that's great. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's a very country feel. You've got the banjos and fiddles. The fiddles and the banjo are played by David Bromberg, who was another bluegrass player and real popular in the 70s. So it's got a country feel to it, which I think George was pretty astute to do that because Ringo, as we know, was a huge fan of country music. And so this song's got some twang.
Yeah, it might remind you of "Don't Pass Me By," another pretty good song with Ringo on vocals. And I really was kind of surprised on the listens to this today at how good this song sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of, they got kind of a round going there.
Oh, yeah, they do at the end.
Left for me in the, you know, vocals. It sounds sort of like more, I mean, we say country, but then what does that mean, you know?
Yeah.
A kind of like Americana type song, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, more
and I really kind of, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really think like, ooh, maybe another thing he should have done is more of that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the few he did sounded really great.
And he sings it really well, too. I think that's something else.
Yeah, George is great on it.
Yeah.
It's just a really good, a big surprise, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, like you said, the band is on it, and it's great. It's kind of like, maybe you should have just joined the band.
Yeah. Kick Levon and Elm out. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, that's definitely, I think you and I would consider that an underrated tune on the album.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think it's, I really, really like it. The next song is a big hit. Some might consider it kind of a novelty song. It's called You're 16. We'll hear just a little bit of You're 16.
You're my baby.
Yeah, so that featured a kazoo solo, or it's called Mouth Sax, by one Paul McCartney. Yes.
Oh, what if I just show up with me kazoo?
that's pretty crazy there. Another couple of guests on here, besides Paul McCartney playing the kazoo, you've got Harry Nilsson on vocals, who I can pick out a little bit in the texture.
Yeah.
And then piano, you've got Nicky Hopkins, who played a lot with John Lennon, and I think he played with the Rolling Stones as well. So, big session guy. It's a 50s song, you know.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, no one's ever going to put your 16 down as their, I don't know, maybe somebody will, but as their favorite song or anything like that. But I dare you to listen to the record and later in the day not be singing You're 16.
It's catchy as hell. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So that was a great closer for the first side of the album, and it was also, as you mentioned, a big hit.
It was a
big single.
And that's a pretty good first. That was side one of the album. That's a pretty good first side of the album.
Yeah. Yeah. I like them all. I'm like, yeah, they're all good.
Yeah.
And so then starting
thumbs
off,
up to the first side of
yes.
Ringo. Thumbs way up.
Thumbs way up for the first side of Ringo.
Yeah.
And then on side two, starts out with a song that was also a big hit. It was the third single off the album, and it's called Oh My My, and we'll listen to Oh My My here.
Doctor, to see what's the matter.
That it's another catchy song, and maybe part of it's because of the lyrics, and you've got some pretty funny lyrics, like, now if you should slow down and you're feeling low down, don't call up your doctor, just grab you a partner. It's what you've been missing. I've got your prescription, that boogie-woogie remedy.
Yeah. Boogie-woogie. Ugh, I really could use the boogie-woogie remedy.
I know.
Boy. Well, it's a good. Here's the thing, the sax and the horns sound pretty good on this.
Yeah,
and it's got a really good energy. It actually kind of reminds me of. It's one of these songs. There's that song. There's Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
Oh yeah,
and I think George has one or two that all sound like they are performed at the early days of Saturday Night Live. It's just sort of like that kind of like
it does
vibe going on to them,
yeah.
You know.
You can hear the crowd, you hear the applause, and yeah.
Yeah. And I think because of the way this album was recorded and stuff, this song succeeds, whereas on future records, if they try to do this song, it might feel a little listless.
Yeah.
You know, and Oh My My is a little too repetitive for me for a chorus, but...
Yeah.
Overall, not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, and it's the first of two collaborations with a guy who would be on the next couple albums. It was Ringo's sidekick during the 70s, whose name was Vinnie Poncia.
Yeah. He's sort of a journeyman kind of songwriter, slash plays a little guitar on one of, I think, Photograph, and mm-hmm. slash does sort of bad back vocals all over the place. His biggest song you may remember from the 70s was Leo Sayer's You Make Me Feel Like Dancing.
Oh, really?
Like, that's his lifetime achievement song.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So most of his songs I'm not that big of a fan of that collaboration. I was like, I actually wrote, I think after the second one, we'll talk about that here in a minute, but... I wrote down, I take it back, maybe Ringo shouldn't collaborate so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it, like you said, that sound got kind of stale after the third album of doing those type of songs. And
yeah.
Then they, as I said, they continued with Vinnie Poncia for quite a while, so
yeah.
Got a little old. But it works pretty well here, and as we said, it was a pretty good hit. The next song is the,
actually there was when you type Vinnie Poncia into Google, the very first thing that pops up is whatever happened to Vinnie Poncia?
Really?
something to that effect, or maybe if you put Vinnie Poncia and Ringo, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Well,
whatever happened to Vinnie Poncia?
Yeah.
So the next song is the only solo Ringo songwriting credit. and it's a very different kind of song than everything else. It doesn't have that big sing-along feel. It's very subdued. It's called Step Lightly, and also features some well-known people. In addition to Nicky Hopkins and Klaus Voormann, you've got Steve Cropper, who was the guitar player for Booker T and the MGs. So
I was going to say, it's aptly titled Step Lightly, because there is... There is a tap dancing solo.
Yes.
In this song, which is odd, to say the least. Also, there's some odd instrumentation. A clarinet is prominently throughout it. Those things I don't mind so much. The sort of inane lyrics bother me. It's Step Lightly... As they did Step Lightly, in that this song is very slight.
Yeah.
You know?
Well put.
So, yeah, all of that is basically my a fancy way of me saying that I feel like this is mostly a dud.
Yeah.
But
I would concur for the most part and say it's pretty slight of a tune. A little bit catchy, maybe.
Yeah, and I think well placed in the album, in that you don't. If the next song was good, you wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, that's true.
But we'll have to talk about whether or not we think the next song is good.
Well, that's good, because so far we've heard from we've heard from three Beatles. Well, I guess we heard from Paul playing kazoo, but we haven't heard him sing or play anything else. But like a real McCartney tune is next. And so following the third song on side two is called 6 o'clock, and it has the joint songwriting credit of Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney on this one, according to the original. Now, on the reissue CD, it just says McCartney, so I don't know if that's implying both of them together or how that works, but definitely Linda, you can hear her, and she has a hand in this one somewhere.
Okay, well, let's have a little bit of a listen.
In the morning, you've just gone to sleep. I wipe a tear from my eye. You can't be the kind of company I keep. That keeps me asking. You keep me asking. You keep me wondering why. Every planet in the sky is in your eyes, but I don't treat you like I, no, I don't treat you like I, no, I don't treat you like I should.
Well, Chris was wincing during that part where we just finished.
It's a hilariously awful synth.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, I think it sounds like a Moog synthesizer, like the same kind that was on Here Comes the Sun or some of those.
It sounds a little more like Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas.
Yeah, it does. It's getting that way.
It's just not good. And it's mixed with a nice string arrangement. So that's what blows my mind about it. It's like, oh, we could have strings or have a instrument come in. No, I'll put my synth on broken. It's so crazy. I also don't much care for the lyrics.
Yeah.
Pretty lame. Feel like McCartney could have written a better song for real.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like, oh, the good ones will keep for me. The bad ones will drink.
Well,
it feels like an ode to a koala bear level of just like throw off to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. The lyrics are pretty weak. It's got a lightness to it again. I have to admit, maybe it's a guilty pleasure. I really like this song for some reason.
All right, well,
I love the music to it, not the synth, not the synth, which sounds awful. But the it's a very sweet melody. It's very so McCartney, like it's just such a classic sound. I could hear him singing this very easily. I wonder if there's a demo or some bootleg somewhere of him actually recording it. I don't know, but. It's got just quintessential McCartney chord progressions and the sound of it.
I will say the chord progressions and the strings, like I said.
Yeah.
I was actually, before I winced at the keyboards, I was mentioning like, I kind of like it. And
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it. And when it was originally released, when the album was originally released, on the cassette and 8-track versions, there was a 5-minute long version.
Oh, yes, that's right. It was longer.
Then they pressed the album, and I'm not sure if on the album they got the time credit wrong. I know on some versions of it, they got the time credit wrong and credited it as 5 minutes.
Mm.
And it really isn't. It's a much shorter version.
Yeah.
And then they did the when they did the re-release in 1991, they added the bonus tracks. We'll talk about those. Mm-hmm. They didn't add the bonus tracks on the long version. They threw that on another Ringo re-release or whatever. So you can find it easily if you want to listen to the extra, which I'm sure is just more synth.
Yeah, I don't think it would benefit from an extra 2 minutes, really. I think it would wear out its welcome you know, with that with the lyrics. But it was Paul's contribution. And guess who's playing acoustic guitar and percussion on that one?
Oh, who? Who
You'll
is?
You'll have to look that up.
Let's see. Benny Poncia, guitar percussion. Yes!
Woo! The ever-present, omnipresent Vinny Poncia on acoustic guitar on that one.
And Vinny Poncia.
He's everywhere.
I hope we get more Benny Poncia.
Well, you're in luck.
Let me cross my fingers. What?
You're in luck. The next tune is another collaboration with Vinny Poncia, Devil Woman.
Devil Woman has pretty good drumming.
Yeah, it does. With Ringo
it starts actually with kind of a cool, like, drums. Yeah. Otherwise, kind of, once again, slight. Maybe the lesser of the two Vinny Poncia co-written things.
Yeah.
And Vinny Poncia can't keep his hands off of it, too.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be sing these terrible backing vocals on this thing. It's, like, obviously, like, I don't know. I don't like it very much.
No, it's kind of, to me, it's Oh My My, just like a weaker version of Oh My My. It has again, some funny lyrics, I guess, if you...
Yeah, they keep repeating, you look like the devil with holes in your head.
Yes, and the only way I'll get you is to get you in bed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know.
Makes you think.
Makes you think, doesn't it? That's about it, so... Yeah, not a great tune. I think that would be one of the weaker tracks for sure on this.
Yeah, album. And I gotta say, even though I slammed 6 o'clock, I probably like it better.
Yeah.
I just have such high hopes for, you know, like look at I'm the Greatest.
Yeah.
That's what when John comes in, he's like, I'm gonna write him an I'm the Greatest. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna write Ringo a huge hit. Actually, I saw an interview with John Lennon from the Old Grey Whistle Test.
Oh, yeah.
Which if you haven't seen that interview, you should definitely check it out. And it kind of, like, makes you think he was thinking, like, oh, I'd probably do a reunion if they wanted to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he was like, well, I'm happiest about Ringo's career. And I'm just real happy every time Ringo has a hit. It makes me feel great. And they were like, and then he said something like, oh, what the hell do I need to help out Paul for? Paul would be all right.
Yeah.
So he kind of like, it compliments him, but at the same time kind of dismisses him.
Yeah.
Like, he really needs our help.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and he got the help of George on the last tune, which is the last song that was officially on the record, which... I think you and I both like quite a bit. It's got a strange credit, songwriting credit. It's George Harrison and Mal Evans, who, if you're a Beatle fan, you know who Mal Evans was. He was one of the roadies in the early days. He was kind of like the Beatles' handler. He and Neil Aspinall were sort of took care of everything for them. And I think Mal Evans started this himself, and then George helped finish the song, and they did it together. And pretty great song, actually. It's I like it.
It kind of reminds you of Goodnight in that it's sort of like a like tongue-in-cheek sort of closer of like we're wrapping things up. We'll see you later. Maybe overdoes it at the end if you ask me with saying goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, well, basically,
why he throws the credits on.
Oh, I kind of like that.
I don't know. It kind of ruins it a little bit for me. But I imagine him, had he released it as a single or whatever, and it become a hit, always closing his show with it.
It's a good closer. What Chris is talking about right at the end, after he finishes the song proper, the band vamps for a long time, and Ringo just talks to you, the listener, and he goes through and wants to thank everybody for making this piece of plastic, I think he says.
Here, Will, as we're talking, I'll throw it up sort of in the background here.
Yeah. That's it. So he says, I'd like to thank George Harrison, John Lennon, Ringo, yeah. Paul McCartney, Vinnie Poncia and all his friends.
Vinnie Poncia.
And then at the end he says, it's I bid you good night or something from your friend and mine, Ringo Starr. So it's a closer, and yeah, it fits very Ringo, I think. It fits well at the ending of this album.
Now, the CD version, is it correct that the CD version adds three songs, but they add it to the middle of the album, or
no,
is it at the end of it?
Yeah, it's at the end. The version I have, there's 10 songs on the original Ringo album, and then the CD 1991 reissue has three right after that. So it starts with It Don't Come Easy, Early 1970, and Down and Out.
It don't Come Easy, big hit,
Another big George collaboration, too. There's a version of George singing it as well.
Yeah, I prefer the Ringo version in that scenario. I think it's actually very good. Early 1970 is one of the oddest tunes I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's just weird, and there's a couple of... It's a tempo change to a whole different kind of style. It's good that it's short.
Yeah.
And there's a decent Harrison solo on it again, so...
It's a strange song. It's very autobiographical. It's about... There's three verses or four verses maybe, and each verse is about one of the Beatles. So he talks about how John's busy with his Japanese wife, and you know, but I think he'll come and play with me someday. And then Paul is too busy with his wife with sheep out on the farm. I don't think he's going to come play with me. He's too busy. And then George with his long-haired guitar picking player, he's always with me. And I guess it kind of shows that it was the three of them against Paul at that time a little bit. In early 1970, right when they broke up. So,
yeah, it's an odd sounding tune, though.
Yeah,
it is. Very bizarre.
Very.
And then the last one we'll talk about, and I actually might, when we go out, we'll play this song for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Down and Out. It's a pretty decent B-side,
yeah,
is how I'd describe it. George has a slide solo, and Gary Wright is on this one, and has a very good piano solo. And honestly, when I heard it, I was like, this should have been on the album instead of friggin',
Woman. Or
Devil Woman.
Yeah.
So I didn't really understand why this wasn't on the album start with, and was just thrown on as a B-side, but... As a B-side, if you bought the single for, I think it was on the B-side of Photograph.
Photograph, right.
Overall, what do you think of Ringo?
I've always loved it. I think it's a great album. It's certainly Ringo in his best element. And the reason for that, I think, is he's given good material. And he's got such a strong supporting cast of good songwriters and good musicians that it's hard for him to fail on this. Even the couple of dud songs aren't horrible like they would be later, so I do enjoy listening to every now and then. So
what about a rating?
Rating 8 out of 10, I'd say
very good.
I give it an 8. I like it.
Well, I think it is Ringo's best album for sure, or I'd have to really think about it, but There's not a whole lot of candidates. I think it's very good. I'd probably give it a 7.5 instead of an 8, just on the weakness of the second side.
Yeah, yeah.
And I definitely don't like 6 o'clock as much as you do because of that stupid synthesizer. But but I really, really like. I think Photograph's one of the all time most underrated songs. It's just really great, and I'm the greatest.
Yeah,
you know, and I just I really like it. And Vinny Poncia didn't screw it up.
No. And it's very special in the Beatles catalog because of the fact that it was almost a complete reunion, and it was the only time really that happened until John Lennon was shot. So it stands out for that particular notoriety, and a pretty interesting cover. If you look at the cover,
I was like, what? There was one more thing I wanted to talk about. Yeah. What was it? It's reminding me.
Yeah, the cover.
You've got the big. You've got it on record, so you have the big fold out thing.
Yeah.
So maybe you could describe that for us.
Yeah. Well, the cover, the inside is all just stars, but the cover itself.
Oh, I get it. I get it. You said there's artwork though in there, or lyrics.
Yeah, the book that comes with it has a lot of drawings by Klaus Voormann, and it has all the lyrics to the songs. And the cover has has caricatures or little cartoons of most of the people who play on the album. It's sort of Sgt. Pepper like on it here. George Harrison's holding a little Krishna symbol in his drawing, and John's holding a star, and you can see Paul and Linda right behind John. So it's a little bit like...
I think there's Yoko in
there. Yeah, Yoko. Yeah, Yoko's there. So, yeah, it's a little like Sgt. Pepper. And then Ringo is standing next to a devil cherub kind of thing with a mustache. Looks like, I don't know, maybe it's Vinny Poncia. I don't know.
It's Vinny Poncia. Ringo also makes the eye of Ringo on the stage.
He does, yeah.
So it's pretty pretty funny. Not a bad album cover.
No, and on the top there's a saying, there's an apple, and it says, "Do it on Monday," but it's spelled differently. You'll have to look at it and see, but yeah, it's definitely up there for me, one of the best Beatles solo albums, and I'm not a big Ringo fan, so
yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, so let's go out on a little down and out from Ringo, and we'll see you follow us on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, Chris D. Bragg. Oh, and also if the show is still up, Thursdays at 9:30 at the Pub Theater, if you're in Chicago, until the 22nd of August, is going to be a show from my group, Long Pause. You can it's a brand new episode. We filmed a lot of stuff for it, and it's really great. It's some videos and some live pieces, and it's all kind of like combined together into like what we're calling an episode. So please come to see it, particularly if you do come on the 22nd. We're filming that day, so it'd be nice. So if you're in the Chicago area, please, please show up. You can find more information on Long Pause Comedy. And I'm also on, I think I posted it to our I've Got a Beatles podcast page.
All right.
We'll go out with a little Ringo Starr with Down and Out.
All right, we'll catch you next time.
Looked at the sky, what did I see? I saw someone.